Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Hello and welcome to Wednesdays with Willa. I am your host, Willa White, and this is my weekly podcast show that airs on Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. on my Facebook page, Willa White Medium. And it's an opportunity to have a spiritual conversation with you about various topics relating to spiritualism, mediumship, healing, faith, family, and more. And it's always a wonderful occasion to share this space with you and with my special guest. And I'm delighted to have as my guest today, Suzanne Giesman. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi, Willa. Thank you for having me here.
Yes, it's going to be a wonderful chat we'll have today to share with people some of your wonderful words of wisdom. And for those of you who don't know who Suzanne Giesman is, she is an evidential medium, a motivational speaker, an author of 14 books, and a retired Navy commander and former aide to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. So she is an impressive lady, and we're so grateful that you could join us today, Suzanne.
Well, thanks, Willa. We're going to be talking about my favorite topic, the spirit world, the afterlife, the greater reality. So anytime I can do that, it's already a great day.
Oh, wonderful. Yes, you're a glowing light, and we're really appreciative that you share that with us and others. And I'm so excited about our topic. But before I say that, I have to say I have one of your books, The Priest and the Medium, which details the amazing story of one of our retired registered Lilydale mediums, Anne Gaiman, and her husband, Wayne. And when Anne was on the show, she was one of my guests. She signed the copy for me and everything. And it's just a wonderful book for those of you who love mediumship. If you haven't read this book yet, I will say it's absolutely beautifully written. And of course, the story and topic of Anne herself being an evidential medium is very inspiring to all of us. And I know you've written other great books as well, but I just had to highlight that one because...
Oh, I'm so glad you did, because just seeing it, my heart burst open. I so love that story. I love Anne and Wayne. And I spent the most magical week in Lilydale interviewing her for the initial stages of writing that book. And the funny thing is, Willa, at that time, I had no idea. I had mediumistic skills and would one day be a medium.
It's incredible the path that spirit takes us on, and it was kind of this idea of these little steps that help you enter into that world. And I'm sure her story has really made you go farther on your quest, because if other people can do it, we can too. There's in us that can respond to that. And so, I'm so glad you wrote that book. It's definitely a story that was worth highlighting, and it was really well written.
Thank you. Well, it's a love story as well as a mediumship story. And one of the favorite parts people enjoy is the last section, the appendix, where I interviewed them back and forth about how they reconcile the former priest and his religious beliefs with Anne being a medium and her understanding of the spirit world. It's just, and he was a professor of literature at Georgetown and very reasoning man, high thinking, and the back and forth flow is just lovely and very insightful.
Yeah. Oh, and you know, you have that kind of wonderful marriage yourself.
Thank you for recognizing that, my wonderful tie. He didn't marry a medium. Now he married a Navy officer, and he's just all in and so supportive, and even though at times I'm sure he wishes we could just have a very simple life.
it has another layer of complication to be a medium on one level. It helps us on that spiritual sacred path, but it does add complication to personal life at times.
And well, for me, it's, I think mostly because it's for me become a mission and a calling, and I can't not do this. And he understands that. And there's not a day goes by that I don't get several emails from people who say that this work has changed their life and launched them on their own spiritual path or propelled it in a different direction in a beautiful way. And he sees that, and I'm sure you've had this too, but he's had literally dozens of people walk up to him and say that a reading with your wife saved my life. These were people who were so deeply grieving, they were ready to end it. And so I'm sure there are times when he would just, we'd just like to go camping or sailing or something and say, can we just not do that today? But he knows the bigger picture.
Yeah, it is a true mission. And it's such a to be almost ordained by God to do the work, I have to say. It feels that way.
That's a beautiful way to put it. Just, yeah. It's like you said, you can't not do it.
Yeah. Well, I'm grateful for my husband supporting me as well. Without them behind the scenes and being supportive, it would be a completely different reality for both of us with our spouses. I'm so excited about our topic today. And our topic, for those of you who don't know, is integrity, ethics, and evidence in mediumship. And those are all three very important aspects to what we do as mediums to really bring through the message and the sacred connection and the authenticity of that moment. So yes, let's have a great conversation about that today, Suzanne.
It's an excellent topic. It really is, because I just had somebody the other day reach out to be on my radio show. My assistant did a little background work, and the website of this person was totally up and up, just like so many of our websites, those of us who are in this field. And just a little digging revealed scandal and scamming going on and court cases. And you just say, doggone, you know, this is why I feel such a calling as well, especially when we teach, to raise the bar and make sure that people understand the sacredness of this work and how we can change lives and heal lives, and not to let a few bad apples take that away or ruin that for other people.
Amen. And, you know, that's something that you'll see in other occupations in the world, people who have chosen that kind of fraudulent or lying mode. And that's why, you know, for us as mediums, if you are a spiritual medium, there is that sacred connection that you're making with the person in spirit and with the sitter, and really bringing through. And it can be such a counseling, healing moment, and we should never trespass against that trust that has been established. Spirit won't work with us in those ways.
That's true.
Yeah.
Boy, I learned that lesson I've been a medium now for 11 years, I think. Yeah. And in the first couple years, there was a little bit of stumbling over the ego. And I know that that's part of the past. And sometimes those lessons can be painful. And when I let my ego get in the way, bam, they cut off the connection, leaving me hanging. And I said, I understand. I get it. That will never happen again. Thanks for that lesson. I don't need it anymore. And so if you truly honor a valid connection and refuse to do any work but true mediumship, you can just trust the spirit more.
Absolutely. And it's something that as you build that trust and they know that they can rely on you to pass the messages accurately along, the more they'll work with you. And you start to build up, this fan club on the other side of people in spirit that then send people to you. So I've had that in my own mediumship practice. People have had dreams with my particular name, which is very unusual. Go see Willow the Medium, go see it, like those kinds of things. And so spirit likes to know that the medium that they're working through is highly ethical as well, and is going to bring through that sacred connection. And mediumship is not supposed to be scary or alarming in what I call the spook and boo of things. It's supposed to be very much the sacred connection of healing and joy and comfort.
I love that there are many mediums who know that. And I love when I teach mediumship that the students, when we talk about topics like this, they hang on your words because they have that calling. They feel that soul connection, their soul calling to them to do this in a loving way, in an ethical way, in a healing way.
Yes. Yes. And I've noticed that with my own students too. You can just, they know they're in the right place. For where
so
they need to be.
I know I was blessed to have teachers like Janet Havoc, who I know you know, and Mavis Patilla, who stressed that as well. So there's a resonance.
Yeah.
You're drawn to somebody like you. Thank goodness.
Yeah, and it also, though, if you do take classes with someone that you don't resonate with as much, it helps you firm up for you what you don't want to do.
That's a good point.
There are lessons on either end of that. Absolutely. And as far as the, you know, having integrity and ethics in mediumship, it really does make a difference when you say, you're of that pure intention. I tell my students that the two main ingredients necessary are right practice and right intention.
And very nice.
That with those two ingredients, beautiful things happen in mediumship. And that pure intention must be there to pass along the messages of loved ones and spirit as accurately as you possibly can. Because many times you are counseling both sides, depending on if it's that kind of a situation where they need to heal something that's maybe been a bit broken or undone. So it's beautiful when those things can come about and the healing happens on both sides.
I love that you talk about intention, and it leads to a good point that I generally do a brief 30-second or less invocation every time before I do a reading, and it serves several purposes. It creates the right energy, but it lets my sitter know that we're coming from a place of love and of service. It draws them in so that they understand why we're doing this for the healing, but it also reminds me to be coming from that place. I know it, but to just state it right before we get going sets the tone, and just like you said, those across the veil know it as well.
Yeah.
And it just makes for a beautiful connection.
Absolutely. A prayer, the opening prayer is essential for that process, to set that intention, to say, this is our spiritual practice. You know, this is something that it goes into spiritual understanding and belief on a deep level. And I've noticed that when we do prayer, some people are uncomfortable with prayer. Some people are just like, you can feel there's so much part of the prayer that they lifted up out of their seats practically just because they were part of that prayer with you, and they start to be able to see things and feel things themselves because they took part in that prayer, that sacred intention that has been stated. And they'll tell me afterwards that that's what they felt. They'll convey that, and that you know that they're all into the experience. That really helps, that the sitter is so much part of the spiritual intention of the process.
But I think that is. Again, a big part of that. I don't call it a prayer. I call it an invocation, because some people do carry some baggage with the word prayer, even though we know this is spiritual work. I call it an invocation, but it is just a connecting with the greater reality, connecting with spirit, which is what prayer is.
Yeah.
But the part of it that's so important for me is bringing the sitter into this so that they know they're part of this sacred triangle that we're creating for this time together. It is sacred. That's all I can say.
And that's why it's important to have bookends of the invocation or prayer, that you have the opening prayer and the closing prayer, because that gives gratitude, that gives thanks for the experience that has just occurred, and, you know, thanks that everybody brought their positive light and love to that occasion. And it also kind of allows the energy to kind of reset. And
it's so funny that you bring that up. I've never considered that a closing prayer. I don't make it a formal thing, but I do stop, summarize the reading, and then thank the spirits. And when I teach this, I always say, remember to thank the spirits, because you can get to talking to your sitter afterwards and sharing the excitement over the evidence that came through and get so excited. You say, well, okay, great. Thank you. See you later. And you walk away, and
and I say to my students, it's like, can you imagine the spirits who just gave you all their energy and their love for that time together? And the medium and the loved one just walked away, and here they are like, hey, what about us? So it's just that, and I love to end it with gratitude and thanks to the spirit world for being present, for cooperating, for helping, for healing. It's lovely.
Yes, yes. And it, for me, it helps to close the energy, because I have a, you know, healthy boundaries in terms of spirit communication. They're allowed to come through between the opening and the closing prayer.
Yes,
we don't want leaky faucets. we want to make sure that it can be contained in that, so that you know, we're not kind of stuck in continuing that communication with them going forward, or expectations on anyone's part that will continue. I think that's also part of the ethics of that my clients know I'm not going to be calling them up with more that this was it.
That's true, but you know that many wouldn't mind that at all.
I know, but they need to know energetically that door has been closed.
Yeah, it has to, because that's why I'm shut off when I'm not doing readings. At first, I thought there was something wrong, that why don't I sense the spirit in my daily life, except when I sit down to read, except for the occasional drop-in, and it's for that very reason that we would be working all the time, on all the time, drained like that faucet that's always running. So I love that the spirit world respects that and teaches us boundaries.
They sure do. And that's been a rule of mine, that they can come through during that time. And then I'm allowed to go about my life. I'm a loving husband and family and a life beyond that, just as you do. And we have to have that downtime to just be human and enjoy our human aspects. And then what I've noticed is that then 100% I could be all in.
Oh yeah.
You know, all in for that reading because of that. And I think it makes me more rounded as an individual, that I have those healthy boundaries. And I've talked to so many professional mediums and psychics over the years that have been what I call leaky faucets, and we've talked them out of that, you know, talked them into the process of how to have healthy boundaries. So I think in terms of having ethics about this, having healthy boundaries as a medium is a really essential part of having a healthy mediumship practice for yourself, the spiritual
learning
practice.
Learning to say no to people is part of that too. It's very challenging when people hear you're a medium and, well, you know, can you give me a reading right now? Or do you hear anything? Do you sense anything right now? And I like to say yes, but what I've learned is tune into spirit when you're asked a question, get the answer from the heart, because a no is sometimes a yes to yourself.
Ah, there we go. Yes, I hear what you're saying about that, because I can't tell you the number of people I've been at a dinner party, or I've been at one of my child's events for things, and people find out what I do, and there's that immediate performance thing that they try to do. But that's not, I'm not going to be going and doing those things, or walking into a grocery store and walking up to a stranger. I feel that that's unethical, to invade someone's space that hasn't asked you to, or that you haven't preset that sacred intention. So I do feel that's an important aspect to the work that we're doing.
Yeah, that does raise a question, though, because I've a topic, not a question. I've had people ask that, and that has happened to me where I've suddenly sensed the spirit enough times that I could count it on one hand. And it's so urgent that when that happens, because the connection is not present most of the time, I know to pay attention. There must be a reason here. There's a healing that can take place, that there may be a reason why the veil parted just now without my asking for it. So it doesn't mean automatically give in, but do listen and ask and check in with spirit and say, why am I sensing this now? Is there really a message? And then there are ways to approach somebody. But happily, like I said, in 11 years of working, less than 5 times that has happened. But I do agree with you, Willa, that if that's happening over and over and over again, then there's a boundary issue.
Yes, yes. And you have to have your do not disturb sign up. on some of that. But I think there are crucial moments where we are given strong intuitive nudges by our spirit guides and loved ones. And we do pay attention to those, obviously. It's important. And I'm so glad that you're able to help people in that way, and that other mediums are as well. Let's talk about in terms of evidence of things. Let's talk about, you know, being an evidential medium and what that means to you.
Oh, to me, it's the greatest honor in the world to get what I call the gold nuggets, those pieces of information that you're not going to find anywhere except in the person's memory or mind, or things that your sitter doesn't know that they have to get from somebody else, so that you know that verifiable information about their loved one absolutely came from their loved one. And I love that if we tell the spirit world, I don't want to do this work unless I get evidence, verifiable evidence, every reading, they will give it to you because they know it's important. Not every sitter needs the evidence. They know their loved ones are around. They know the spirit world is real, but we don't know who knows and who doesn't. So if you ask for evidence every time, you're going to change lives.
That's right. And, you know, really trying to bring forth the essence of a spirit. I call it bringing forth the essence of a spirit, what it feels like to be them. Their personality, what it felt like to be in their skin, how they relate to the sitter, how they feel emotionally about them, and physical problems they had, emotional problems they may have had, things that were joyful to them. Those all kind of, you know, start to amalgamate and create this essence of spirit that is very profound, and the person says, oh, that's my, you know.
That's it. That's what I tell everyone. The test of a good reading is, did your sitter leave and say, that was my loved one? And so some people may say, well, personality isn't evidential. It is when you get specific. I love how you said when you're inside their skin, because that's how it feels. You become them for a while. Yeah. You know what they were like in specific situations. At work, they were like this. At home, they were like this. With the family, they're like this. And with strangers, they were like this. And that's so much better than just saying, oh, they were nice and kind and sweet.
Right.
Everybody can think that about most of their loved ones. So let's get specific. And if I don't feel that personality, this is where the ethics comes in. If I don't feel that, I will stop the reading. Because that means I'm off.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that when you're open as an empathic, intuitive person, you can pick up information about loved ones, mind to mind, from your sitter. So I need to make sure I really feel that spirit here through the evidence of their personality.
Yes, it's a visceral experience for me. I feel, perhaps because I love books and I'm a reader, and you know, the different characters that are involved. And I feel like I'm getting to know them in those moments, and they're sharing something precious with me during those times. And I ask them, so what do you think about that? So while I'm talking to the sitter and conveying the information, I'm continuing to talk to them. I'm multitasking.
That's what a lot of people don't understand. This is a conversation. It's communication. It's not just, this is how they died and this is what they did. It's not a grocery list. That's the evolution of one's mediumship, going from the list to really interacting with that spirit so that you did spend time with them.
And they will give opinions about various people in the person's life. And they'll be like, yep, that's exactly what they thought of that person, or I'm not surprised. And you know, they'll say those words because that's how they have that affinity, that is maintained, that idea of the continuity of life, that the personality survived after so-called death, and that they still care. They still care, and they still share that interaction and want to explore that.
You know, you just reminded me of a reading when you say it's a conversation and they're telling you things the way they would. Just yesterday, I did a reading and brought through a woman who had taken her own life.
And she said, this is how the evidence can come through in even just the sentence. She said to her loved one, the sitter, I just didn't want to work in a restaurant for the rest of my life. And I knew that this was her despair after years of mental illness. And in that, I knew that she had worked a part-time job in a restaurant at some point in her life. And the loved one said, that's absolutely correct. And it's just, when you hear someone say it like that with the emotion that goes with it, that's so different than just saying, and I sensed that they worked in a restaurant. This is, I used to work like that. But when you set the intention to really capture their essence and speak for them, that is the way that eventually we can get to that.
Yes, and they will respond. Now, of course, some of that is dependent upon personality, because some people are just more open than others. And I've even had the situation where, you know, the way they would talk to the sitter is not the way they would talk to that sitter's sibling or their children or any of those things. And so there's it's a unique conversation between them. And to some extent, I've really, you know, wrestled with this idea that some of these conversations are so private that for the sitter to share it then with others is almost a bit wrong. It'd be like if you and I shared something private and, you know, our personal feelings about something, we wouldn't necessarily want that to be shared. What are your thoughts about that?
That's so interesting. It's never come up before, but that also speaks to the ethics and integrity. When we know that we're recording this session, because that's such a gift for the sitter to listen or watch over and over again. Yeah. There are some things that come up every once in a while. I'll stop and I'll say, now you're recording this. And there are times I'll even push pause and I'll say, I need to say something that you may not want to share, would not want to have shared, such as they're showing me that you had an abortion, you know, something like that. And this is something that the spirit world needs to talk over with the loved one here. But it's that constant dance of knowing everything that's going on, all the dynamics that interplay here. And then they say, it's okay, we can talk about that. And you start the recorder up again, because it is personal. I love that you said that.
Yeah.
It is their conversation with the sitter. But of course, there will be messages that they have for others in the family. But they definitely direct it just like you would if you were talking in person, which they are.
Exactly. And, you know, it's a little different if you get quite a group of people in spirit around you. It almost feels like you are at a dinner party, and some people are going to maybe hog the conversation at the table more than others will. And so it just is one of those situations where you can just feel them all, and you have the different essences of that and how they're interacting with each other.
Oh, and I know you've had this happen 100 or 1,000 times where you're talking to somebody's father, and then all of a sudden mom barges in. Well, your mother just interrupted, and I know that this is exactly what she would have done when she was here, because she's the force, and the person will laugh and say, oh yeah, that's my mom.
Yeah, and so it's the dynamic between the spirits, too, that sometimes really shows evidence during those moments.
Yeah.
And so we
should just mention for a minute then, Willa, the difference, why we're stressing evidence, because I've had readings with mediums who just say, well, there's a beautiful light around you and this loved one loved you so much and they're fine and they want you to know that. All of that may be true. But in the beginning, when I was a sitter, when I was trying to hear from my stepdaughter across the veil, if that's all that I heard from a medium, I would have gone away, and I have gone away from readings and said, that wasn't Susan or that wasn't my dad. And so it's the evidence that for me made all the difference.
Yes. Yes. But I will tell you, there's a difference between what spirit can give you in terms of evidence and possibly the evidence that the sitter wants.
Oh,
let's talk about that.
Oh my gosh. I actually have a read ahead for my sitter so they understand that, because I totally get that some people have something in their mind. This is what's going to prove to me that it's my loved one, but it doesn't work that way. To me, it's like they're two parts of that.
The first is a frequency issue. Can they get that specific evidence through this receiver? Is my radio station tuned to the exact frequency of that word, that vision, whatever it is you want to hear? The second thing is, everything we do in life, in my understanding, is part of our soul's growth. And if you're being stubborn and needing to hear something, you may not get it just because you need to release and trust Spirit will give you exactly what you need. And so those people that go away disappointed because they didn't hear the specific thing, later they go back and listen to the recording and they say, I missed so many things during the reading because I wasn't listening. I was listening for this, but you had her.
Yes, they're in Pathway of Diamonds. I couldn't see it kind of a thing. So it does, that does happen. And I think that even happens for people when they do messages. You know, here in Lilydale, we do, gallery readings. That's been going on for 140 years plus. It's in outdoor in the woods and also in our big auditorium in the summertime and then in our churches. And so that's been normal, but you only have like 2 to 3 minutes to bring through a spirit greeting. And you're just praying that it has the components necessary because, you know, typically a private reading can be range anywhere between a half hour to an hour, right?
Yeah.
And you can explore things, there are dynamics, there are people who can come through and really have a conversation. It's a true conversation. But in message work like that, it is so condensed. And you're
it is
very
that's
public.
A very challenging way to work.
Yeah.
But again, I feel if you set the intention with the spirit and they say, look, really need a little gold nugget, something, I call them differentiators.
Mm-hmm.
Something that will differentiate you as a loved one for that person in the gallery apart from everyone else, that will really make this special. So please give me those.
And
that works.
And I think that's all we can do is ask, make that gentle request. It's not a demand.
Oh, yes, right.
For mediums and for the clients, the sitters, that they have to understand that it's a gentle request. It can never come from that demand frequency because things don't work in that arena with that kind of intention. So I think you're right about finding those nuggets that are there. And I'm recalling, different moments where I have had people say, well, I have to check about that. And then they do. And then they know there's no way this medium could have been reading my mind because I didn't even know it. And they're like, I checked. And that's exactly my uncle did have a deflated lung. Did have, all these
Can I just share, last week, this one blew me away. This image that the loved one across the veil, it was a father-in-law, showed me a can, but specifically jagged across the top. So it had been opened with an opener. And I knew that he was showing me that he ate some food out of the can. And I said, well, what's in the can? And I said, it's either sardines or, no, it's Vienna sausages. And the sitter looked at me like, what? And I said, you check with your mother-in-law. She will know about this. And she emailed me later. She said, my father-in-law did eat Vienna sausages out of a can. I love it.
Isn't it great, those little things that, they did, but the sitter doesn't always know. They don't always know all of the components of those things, or sometimes they're forgetting in that particular moment.
I had a sitter once who forgot she'd been married before. I kept bringing through her ex-husband and all this evidence, and it's so funny. She came back to me, she said, Suzanne, I forgot all about him. And when she went back to the evidence, it was him. But he came through to apologize for being abusive, so I could see why she would have wanted to forget him. But
Sometimes there's that moment where they're just almost like deer caught in the headlights, and they can't think because they're just in a moment of being, and they can't even grasp things with a rational mind at those moments. So that's part of handling things from an evidential standpoint as well. But sometimes it's for later.
Well, and because this chat is turning out to be more like a class in mediumship, which I love, that in the early days for new mediums, when the sitter says, no, I don't know anything about that, we have a tendency as humans to cave and say, oh, I must be wrong. And the whole energy comes crashing down. Mm-hmm. So with time and experience, you learn to trust the spirit, not the sitter, and just say, I really feel confident about what they're showing me. You go check. And that holds the energy high and you can keep the flow going.
Right. What I say is just keep it in mind. Just keep it in mind. Or they'll say, I know there's only one. I'm like, no, there's two. They're two brothers. And no, there's only one. So there's things like that have happened. Go ahead.
But with the ethical part of that, if I catch myself saying, well, check later, well, you'll have to check on that. If I would ever say that more than three, maybe four times in a reading, then something's off, because the spirit world will do this just to prove a point that we're not reading your mind. But why would they be giving you so many things that aren't accurate?
Yes.
So this is the ethical part of mediumship. I'm always hearing the words coming out of my mouth from a sitter's point of view, from the spirit world's point of view. Am I representing them accurately? Am I tap dancing? Am I making things fit? It's just self-monitoring as a medium, I feel, is really, really important.
Oh, absolutely. It's something that you have to do constantly. And, you know, I've been registered for almost 20 years now, which means I've been a professional medium for longer than that. But, you know, it's interesting to me that even over the years, I still have to tell spirit, I want to work this way. I want you to work with me, give it to me this way, not that way. And you still have to evolve. It's not something that your mediumship is stagnant. It is something that you're always working to improve more and more and more.
That's the fun part. I learned that from my first teacher. It will always get better. And that's so exciting to watch that.
Yes, there's a progression that occurs with that. But there's also something to be said for those beginning years when you're just, you don't know. And it's, you know, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know
what you know. Yeah, there's something to be said for that.
But there's something to be said about that. The delight of the surprise that occurs. Oh, I can't believe I just did that. Oh, they understand. They're healed. You know what I'm trying to say?
I know. Being facetious in that there are many moments where I don't want to turn the clock back. There are many times I don't want to turn the clock back, but I totally get it. And I'm still, people laugh at me that even after 11 years, I clap. I say, yay, when we get just a beautiful piece of evidence. I tell people, if you ever lose the awe that this is someone in spirit right here, right now, connecting with you and showing you we have never left you. We are still right here. If you lose the awe of that as a medium, take a break.
That's right. That's right. You need to be in it, all in it. It's almost like the more you can be in it, in that excitement level, the enthusiasm that has to be there and present, the better, because it helps to raise the vibration.
I use the analogy of a traffic light. And we want to be the green light sending out this, I'm all in, that enthusiasm you mentioned, versus a red light would be like, oh, I got to do a reading. Okay, is this over yet? No, I've never had that attitude. And the spirit world would feel, they feel the difference between a red light. A yellow light is kind of like the newbie medium saying, I want to be here. I want to do this. But what if I fail? That's a yellow light. So you build yourself up and say, spirit, you're not going to let me down. Green light all the way. Here we go.
That's right. That's right. And those are important components that as people go through almost like that arc within themselves as a medium, you develop that more, the trust that's associated with that. And you start to, that foundation, you know that you have the safety net of the universe. You know, when we go and do gallery reading, stand-up mediumship, public mediumship, however you want to term that, I don't know what I'm going to get until that very moment. I don't get anything in advance. I tell them, I don't want to know anything. Just take me to the right people. Give me the information in the moment because I want it to be fresh.
Yeah, from the horse's mouth. I like the readings as well. But it does lend an air of mystery, but if instead of the human mode saying, oh my God, what if I don't get anything, instead you say, I wonder what miracle is going to unfold here. Yeah. There's a whole different energy that you can bring to it.
You kind of just step off and know that you have the safety net of the universe that's going to catch you in those moments. You build to such a level of trust that you just say, here I go.
Here we go.
And you're there. And I think that helps to keep the ethics and the integrity there too, to just allow it to flow through in that particular moment. I think there's something real.
I love that you brought that around to the ethics and integrity, because there are some who doubt that they'll be supported by the universe and they start taking notes ahead of time. And then you're not in the flow when you step up reading your list or recalling what you got. You're in the head. And so that, again, I love how you say, I don't want anything till I get up here. That's what I say.
Yeah.
Because it's not real time. And some people might say, well, then where's my safety net? You said it, Willa. The universe is your safety net. Those spirits are here.
Yeah.
And if we need it in advance, we're not trusting ourselves. Spirit won't let you down.
You know, I can understand getting some of it in advance, especially if it's like a doozy of a message thing. You know, there's been a lot to it.
Because they're here and they're ready.
They're here and they're ready.
They're leaking through, right?
But at that point, it's almost like that should have been a reading rather than a reading. You know what I'm trying to say? Like if it's so intense that way, I mean, that's a greeting that's going to be a 10-minute rather than a 2 to 3 minute that it's supposed to be. So that's why I think it's good to keep it fresh. And it is hard. I totally admit, even after all these years, it's really hard for me to stop that greeting, because once you tap in with spirit, you just want to keep going and going and going.
Yeah, it feels good.
And you kind of don't want to stop it for a bit, but you have to like say, no. You had your little moment, now we got to step back. And there are other people that want to be heard from. So it's an interesting dance that we have to do as mediums in this whole evidence thing, and the integrity and the ethics of trying to help as many people as we can in those moments that we have. And it's really a phenomenal experience, for sure.
Yeah, and so I was just thinking about the way that I know that spirit's got my back. I know they do, but am I tuned into that now? Am I in the right place? When I sit to do a reading, I check in with my friend Brenda across the veil, and we play this game. She's always here to help me with my reading. She just stays in the background. She's a mediumship guide. Oh, I was just going to say in training, and she says the training's over. She's all on board. But we play this game that I sit down, and I say, Brenda, are you here? And she immediately tells me something current in our dear friend Lynette's life. And I quickly text Lynette and say, Brenda just showed me you have this flower pot, this ceramic flower pot. You're doing something with it just today or yesterday. And I sit, and Lynette is, she's almost always near her phone. She picks up and she'll go, just like today. Yeah, I was just getting that out of storage because I want to use it for my artwork. And there you go. So it's just this instant, I'm tuned up. I'm ready to go. I'm connected right now. I'm not distracted by my human waking life here. Focused and ready to serve.
Absolutely. I think that's a great example of how you can work with your behind the scenes people. And, you know, I don't make a big deal about the guides and loved ones that help me. It's not like I say to my sitter, my guide so-and-so is helping me with this.
Can I make that point and interrupt you a second?
Oh, sure.
Once Brenda, she is out of the way. I don't want to hear from her. This is their loved ones. We don't work through the guides. Just very quickly, maybe once in a while, I'm not quite sure I got something right. I ask them, I'm not sure, and I'll just go, Brenda, and then I hear ding, ding, ding if it's trusted, and then I say it. So it's just like an occasional check-in, but no, it's direct communication.
But I think that's something that most people don't understand, that there's like a team that helps make this possible. There's a production crew a lot of the time that helps to make a reading possible. Because it may be a sequence of spirits that we're able to bring that one spirit through. It might be that your guides are doing things to get them maneuvered, and you're like, I really need the mom to shift aside so I can talk to the dad. You know,
call it a dance, and that's what I call it too. It's all these moving parts, but when you just flow with it, it is beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I use the analogy of the little girl standing on daddy's feet when you're learning to dance, and I just say, spirit, dance me around this floor, and it just flows.
And it does, and you could just feel swept up in the waltz of it all.
Yeah.
And it's such a beautiful thing to know that we can be part of that. I was wondering if you had any last thoughts about those things that you wanted to share. I know we've talked about a lot so far in terms of...
Simply that if there's a reason that we do this work, and so ethically, with integrity, the bottom line is to show people that you are part of something so much greater. Yes, if we could show you your loved ones haven't passed, that is so healing, so comforting. But what else does it mean? It also means you don't die. How can you make the most of your life here and now? Because you're still here for a reason. So there's so much more to mediumship than just a reading. And if we can do our work ethically with integrity, raise the bar with evidence, all of those things together, we change lives, we send ripples out because the people who hear about that reading want to know more. It goes on and on and on, and I'm just so grateful to be in this community of lovely people who get this, and we're all on this path together. I love you all.
and I think that's an excellent point that people recognize that they have a soul, you know, that they sometimes they weren't quite sure when they came in to the room, you know, they were a little shaky about those kinds of things, but because they've been able to talk to their loved ones in spirit, they're like, oh wow, I was able to talk to their souls, I have a soul too, and it matters. And those people have really changed their lives because they had a reading. There's so many reasons that people have comfort from a reading, but that has been a really profound thing I've noticed with certain people. They really needed it to have confirmation that they were divinely loved and divinely guided, and that they could process things from that standpoint going forward.
Well, you might have seen me laughing there because I'm laughing with joy at how spirit works, because you and I, before we began, set the intention that this flow beautifully from spirit, that people hear what they needed, but that it would flow perfectly. And you asked me before we wrapped it up to bring up any special events coming up.
What special events do you have?
And coming up on November 11th is this 1 hour free event with the Shift Network that I'm doing. And it's called Soul to Soul Communication. How to connect with loved ones soul to soul. And this is an aspect of it that we're going to go into in that hour. And just quickly, the way people can register for that is just go to my homepage, SuzanneGeisman.com. Right at the top is a banner where you can find out information and register for that. But it's a point that would be a whole other hour conversation, Willa.
I know.
It's not the human being that makes this connection. It's the soul. And so how do we learn to tap into that? Oh, I love this work.
Oh, I love this work too. It's so wonderful. So yes, check out Suzanne's beautiful class offering. It's free. That's a really awesome price.
Well, this is just a 1 hour lesson in that, a chat about that. There will be a follow-on class, but this is something the Shift Network's offering, which
what
I'm very grateful
thing.
To them. They do things first class.
Yes, and that is a beautiful way for people to really feel their next step, perhaps, with spirit communication for themselves. Because so many people are wanting to know how they can foster that connection with their loved ones in spirit. And there have been times when I've said to clients, remember, you're your own best medium.
That's right. That's right. We want to teach a person to fish. Right?
Yes, because, and I've had to tell people, no, you can't book again for a long time. Because I want them empowered. This is not about having an addiction with me as your medium kind of thing. This is about them exploring for themselves, the people who could really start to feel that love, because that's what they're needing. In the time that they had a reading with the medium, they're seeking that confirmation and connection, but it's something that they can have more regularly if they build that rapport with their loved ones in spirit. So that sounds like a great event And yes, I will post Suzanne's website along with the description of this podcast so that you can click on that and find it more easily so you can join in. And we really appreciate you being on the show today, Suzanne. It's been wonderful.
Oh, I just kept thinking, this is a class. I have to definitely post this on my site that people should listen to this in the archives, because it's. I appreciate you for giving both of us a chance to get that information out there.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm delighted that you could be here and share. As I said before, I knew it would just be full of words of wisdom, and I know my viewers really appreciate that aspect of Wednesdays with Willa. So tune in next week on Wednesdays with Willa, Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. here on my Facebook page, Willa White Medium. And I check out Suzanne's website. As I said, I will be posting that so you can have an easy click link for it. All right, everyone. Have a wonderful week. Lots of love to you. Thanks again, Suzanne. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh.